Attention all ships!
Kai had no way of knowing if any of them would pay attention to the broadband hail, but someone would hear it.
This is Space Defense Force, 3rd Fleet, 1st Squadron. We recognize ships of Mackensy Military Assistance as under attack by unlawful forces, and we order you to desist or be fired upon.
By the time the pirates heard that, her first raft of missiles should be impacting their shields. Mackensy, she could see, were firing bursts of missiles, but only one of their ships seemed capable of using a beam weapon in short bursts. Chara's gift reappeared on scan, almost perfectly positioned. Kai had her communications tech monitoring the pirates' Ansible channels, and a burst of incomprehensible jargon came from the Ansible.
I think they heard us.
Kai nodded, and Hugh changed the Ansible to their private setting.
Captain Argelos, do you have a firing solution?
I do. My primary target is the number one first crossing the X.
Kai nodded to her own weapons officer.
Get him, Dannon.
Their forward beam weapon stabbed out, raising a flare on the shields of the nearest enemy ship, just as its shield and the second in that echelon sparkled with the impact of their missiles.
Not getting through.
Not expecting to yet. This is to get their full attention off the Mackensy ships.
Space Defense Force? Who the hell are you?
That came from a Mackensy ship.
This is MSS Mateo. Colonel Kalin commanded. Who's your commanding officer?
A combined force formed to defend against the common enemy. The pirates commanded by Gamus Turek. We have representatives of various planetary systems.
Never mind that one of those systems had been destroyed, one was an exile, three were wild-eyed adventurers, and her own ship's Cascadian registry did not really represent the Moscow Confederation's support.
You're on our side?
Yes, you're legitimate. They aren't. Excuse me a moment.
Kai turned to her weapons officer.
Phase two, shall we?
But who's commander?
I am.
It was harder than Kai had expected to say both that and her name in the same utterance.
Kailara Vada, can you maneuver? I notice you're near drifting.
Troops outside. We're trying to bring them back aboard. But this way, we can at least offer them some protection. Are you that Kailara Vada? The one who...
Yes.
I see. Talk to you later.
On the display, the battle shifted abruptly from what had seemed like the easy destruction of an outnumbered static force by a larger mobile one, as the pirates realized they themselves were caught in a pincer formed of the Mackensy ships and Kai's force. Though Kai could not understand any of the commands that their commander gave, it became obvious that they considered the Mackensy ships' missile batteries less dangerous than the others, and they tried to close in enough to use the Mackensy ships for a screen. Kai had anticipated this. She and Pettigrew both micro-jumped in much closer. Close in, Vanguard's missile launchers achieved a rate of fire Kai would have thought impossible, hammering at the pirates' defenses. Shields on the nearest pirate ship brightened to an actinic flare, and the next launch sent 100 into her unprotected flanks. The optical monitors blanked. Others indicated hull breach, fragments blown wide.
That's not going to be going anywhere.
Good. Though I wouldn't mind if we disabled one and captured it.
That ship's partner decelerated abruptly.
Not the maneuver I'd pick.
Me neither. The debris cloud will be broader when he reaches it. I think he's hoping to duck it, but it's not going to work.
One of the pirate ships ran full into the barrage Mater had launched shortly before, and its shields flared.
Come on it!
Pettigrew pursued, and a salvo up the bustle breached the after shields. The resulting explosion indicated that at least one in-system drive had blown. The ship yawed, then began a sickening tumble.
Lost their stabilizers. Probably lost all in-system and all internal power. Talk about vomit, Comet.
Is it repairable?
By a good shipyard, yes. Jury-rigged? Probably not. It'll never go through jump.
Might as well blow it, then. It's a navigation hazard as it is. Too bad. I'd have liked another armed vessel.
You're right. It's too bad, but I don't see any way to get it repaired out here, not with our resources.
Kai nodded at Dannon.
Forward beam.
The beam stabbed out, finding the tumbling ship, and a few seconds later, it exploded in a cloud of debris. The fourth pirate ship, disabled, drifted on its way. Kai sent Ransom to keep watch on it.
Stay out of its range. If we can capture it whole, it will be useful, but we don't want trouble while we're waiting.
If the pirates had contacted their friends by shipboard Ansible, and she was sure one of them at least would have, trouble might drop in at any time. For the moment, though, her concern was for the battered Mackensy ships. She contacted Colonel Kalin aboard Mater.
Can we assist?
Do you have medevac capability for zero-gravity micro-atmosphere situations?
Kai's medical personnel had been reading the manuals and working on simulations, but had no actual experience.
Not much. We have medical personnel and supplies, but not expertise in EVA work, though we've been doing simulations.
Then no, you can't. You can keep any more trouble off us, though, if you would. Moraine's whole. Internal damage. She's not going anywhere.
If you need crew space, we have room.
We prefer to take care of our own people.
Understood. We'll take high guard.
Kai moved her ships back, except for the transport, which might prove useful. Her scan crews mapped the expanding debris fields and the tracks of live weapons. Though missile drives would run out after a few minutes, the missiles themselves continued as live warheads. Recovery of personnel outside the ships took agonizing hours. Varane's captain reported worse news. Both in-system and FTL drives down, several onboard fires, no power to deliver the fire-retardant foams. The weapons bay crews shoved unused ordnance out the hatches as fast as they could, racing the approaching fires. Finally, the captain ordered his crew to abandon ship, and most made it into shuttles or onto the rope tows before the ship blew. Kai felt helpless and guilty both, as they stood off, listening to the mounting damage and casualty reports, watching for more trouble that never arrived. Meanwhile, she sent Argelos to the drifting pirate hulk.
Definitely some hostiles alive aboard. We can pick up the transmission of short-range communicators. Nothing on the Ansible. I'm hoping its power source is down. It should be. Can't understand what they're saying, though, except for a word now and then. Wait! They're using regular ship channels now. They want to surrender.
Do they indeed?
Kai called the Mackenzie ships.
Colonel, the remaining pirate ship is disabled but whole, and they want to surrender. Could you make use of that hull?
Chances are they'll just ambush any boarding party, and I don't have the resources to use right now. We certainly could use the space, if the hull's airtight. But you blew the engines, didn't you?
I don't know the full extent of damage, but I don't want to leave a ship full of pirates loose, even if they seem to be disabled now.
Well, I must say, Captain Vada, that you saved our skins, and I'm grateful. And your tactics were competent. So, I guess it's up to you. You're a privateer, aren't you? You claim her as a prize.
I was a privateer. Now you might want to think of us as another military unit. And you have need. If that ship would be of use to you, and if we can capture it without undue loss, I'd certainly let you use it to get back to a system where you had resources. Then, yes, our force could always use more ships.
I don't know what advice to give you. And from what I've heard about you, you don't always take advice.
True, but I'm listening.
From his expression, he was trying out approaches, discarding them.
Well, then, it's very, very tricky doing a hostile boarding. I know you've been boarded once.
Twice.
All right. The advantage is with the defenders, usually. They know their ship best. And that ship's tumbling, which is going to make it harder. Now, you don't know how big the ship's company is. So you don't know if they're all out, even if you get some of them to evacuate on the tethers. They've had plenty of time to set booby traps, too.
So your recommendation would be to blow it away?
Ordinarily, yes. Without hesitation. But you're right. We are short on space, especially with our wounded. We expect a resupply force in about 15 days. But until then...
Colonel, we have a transport ship in system. She's not fully loaded, and there's space aboard her you could use.
Had you planned to be here that long?
I was planning to do training exercises here, the same as you were.
Did you know we were here?
Just before we jumped, one of my scouts reported that he'd seen your ships in the system and nothing else. It was just over a 6-day jump. I didn't know if you were about to leave, had just arrived, or what, but I didn't consider you hostiles.
I see. If you can take some of our personnel aboard until our other ships arrive, that would be a big help. And if you have extra med boxes and medical personnel...
Kalin turned away for a moment. When he turned back, his shoulders had slumped a centimeter.
Our casualties are very high, Captain Vada. Any help you can give...
Of course.
Kai spared a thought for the remaining pirate ship. With her people out there watching it, it wasn't going to cause trouble, and the casualties were more important. The plight of the pirates themselves didn't bother her at all.
Tell me where you want the transport. I don't want to cause more trouble.
Kalin gave her the system coordinates. Kai passed them on to the transport, and then ordered Furious to stay far out and keep watch over the jump point.
Do you expect more pirates?
No, but they didn't expect us. And anyone down jumping there is in danger from those mines. We may have to blow them up.
Which would create a debris field wider than the minefield, but a lesser hazard. Only weakly shielded trade ships would be at risk of a hull breach or serious damage. Their supply ship, unable to perform precision microjumps, followed Argelos's pattern to place itself within a few hours of the location Colonel Kalin had requested, then edged in with in-system engines. The first shuttle load of Mackenzie personnel that eased up to Vanguard's larger airlock swam the tube with helmets sealed. Kai waited for them herself, with armed guards beside her. Friends they might be, but she was not a naive space cadet anymore. The first person into the ship had a row of stripes on the suit arm and Pit stenciled on the helmet. Kai fought back a grin. This was entirely too good to be true. Clearly, Pitt was having the same trouble. The corner of her mouth twitched.
Master Sergeant Pitt requests permission to come aboard.
Permission granted. I understand you have 3 wounded with you?
Yes, ma'am. They're coming through next.
Chief Martin will escort them to our medical facility. Our medical staff is set up and waiting. You and the rest of your personnel will be in our starboard crew compartments. Sergeant Crail will guide you.
Kai gestured to one of her escort, who stepped forward.
I'll be in to speak with you later when I've reported to Colonel Kalin about the status of your wounded.
Thank you, ma'am.
Pitt saluted and stepped aside. Next out of the transfer tube were the wounded in enclosed litters. Martin led them away. Kai, glancing through the transparent shields, tried not to show what she felt. It was one thing to imagine what being hit by projectiles when outside a ship might mean, quite another to see the human wreckage up close. She followed the last of the litters to the medical suite they'd set up. Here, her medical teams had already opened the first seal. The stench of blood and burned flesh and bowel contents filled the compartment until one of the techs lowered the exhaust hood. One of the Mater crew stepped forward.
I'm a combat medic. Can I help?
Scrub in! Down that way! Spare jumpers in the locker!
Kai flattened herself to the bulkhead as the other man came by. Of the 3 injured, 2 went immediately into med boxes for supportive care, while the medical team worked over the 3rd. Kai stood by, making sure she was out of the way, until all 3 had been treated, and her team had handed over the medical data Kalin's people would want. Then she headed for the bridge to talk to Colonel Kalin.
They're all alive. I'm transmitting the files to you now.
He looked drawn. Kai multiplied what she had seen in her own sick bay by however many casualties there'd been, and understood.
Thank you. If only we hadn't had so many out in EVA. Now, where did you people come from and why?
We jumped in from Adelaide's system. Our scout, you should have his beacon as Glorious, had reported the system empty except for your 2 ships.
And that was about 12 days ago, you said? We have a brief scan contact from back then, but no hail. The enemy, say you know who they are?
You don't?
No. Never heard of pirates attacking armed ships like ours before.
Kai summarized what had been happening.
They've taken whole systems? And we don't know. But, of course, the Ansibles are out. And must be part of that, too.
Possibly. Certainly, they're making good use of communications being disrupted.
So, who's paying for you bunch? The, Space Defense Force, or whatever you call it, to organize pretty fast, wasn't it?
It's multi-system.
Yes, but the last I heard, Slaughter Key's Ansible was out. So how did they let you know they were in on this?
Colonel, I'm not comfortable discussing this kind of thing over an open connection, even with scrambling. My scouts don't think there's anyone else in this system, but what if there's a stealthed observer ship somewhere?
I see your point. All right. We'll talk later, in a more secure location.
Down in the starboard crew area, Pitt and her people already had their area ready for inspection. Sergeant Crail had shown them the mess area, and Kai found them cleaning up after a meal.
Officer on deck!
The others all came to attention.
Eddies, have you found everything you need?
Yes, ma'am. Nice ship you have here. Bit more than the other one.
Thanks. It's a repossession. This ship was stolen from Vada decades ago, and I got it back.
Yes, ma'am, I did hear something about that. It was a pirate ship, wasn't it?
That's right. I re-registered her after we got her cleaned up and refitted. Good to see you again, Master Sergeant Pitt.
Good to see you in the role you were meant for, ma'am, if I may be so bold. Especially since we really needed some help out there.
I wish we'd been a bit sooner. What happened to your sentries?
Blown away before we knew it. They knew exactly where to look, apparently. First I heard it was a board exercise, return to ships.
So, there's probably an observer here somewhere, stealthed. We haven't spotted anything.
Almost certainly. And a spy at our last stopover, too. Not that our people are loose-lipped, but we went into the powder and jump point with the right vector to come out here. It's only got the two endpoints, where we'd come from and this one.
Come up to my office with me for a bit.
Pitt sent her people back to work and followed Kai. When they reached the office, Kai waved her to a seat and sat down herself behind the desk. Pitt glanced around.
Nice.
Thanks. If it was a spy where you were, communicating with someone here, where the system Ansible doesn't work, how do you suppose the message went?
Is that a trick question? Without an Ansible, it would have to be... It'd be impossible.
Yeah. We're all so used to universal Ansible access, to having real-time communication, that the implications of not having it can slip by. If there was no working Ansible where you were, Powdern, and no working Ansible here, then a spy there couldn't communicate to ships here without another kind of Ansible.
But there isn't another kind of Ansible. Everyone knows that. Oh, there is. And you know about it.
The pirates have a way of communicating instantaneously across interstellar space. It's a ship-mounted Ansible.
That's... Everyone's always said that.
It's impossible, yes. But it's not. It's technology that the ISC tried to keep under wraps. I don't know how it got out, but it did. And it explains the coordination of the pirate attacks.
It would. Real-time communication in combat. Fantastic. You certainly showed up in time. How do you know about this?
When I captured this ship, it was full of all sorts of goodies. Among them... 60 shipboard Ansibles. One mounted and ready for use, the rest crated and ready, I presume, to sell or hand over to the other pirates. At that time, I had aboard an ISC agent who just about came apart when he saw them. He knew what they were and what they did, and he wanted to impound the lot.
I'll bet he did.
However, I persuaded him that if the man who'd run this ship had them, the tech was already out of the bag and couldn't be stuffed back in. I refused to turn them over or destroy them.
You've grown up a lot, you know.
It's been an interesting time. What you don't know is that most of my family is dead.
What?
Someone, I think this same group of pirates, in collaboration with someone in the government of my home planet, set out to destroy my family and my family's business. My parents and siblings are dead, along with many others. Ships and crews were attacked, as well as the corporate headquarters and some of the homes.
When did this happen?
Shortly after I got back to Belinta. About the same time the Ansibles started going out. I didn't find out about all of it until I got to Lastway. Not a good topic of conversation, actually, but yes, I've changed. Not entirely for the better.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But I'm damn glad you showed up when you did.
I want you to go back and tell your commander about this personally. I don't want to transmit it over conventional radio.
He's not expecting me back. I'm supposed to take care of our people here.
Will he let you come back, do you think, if I tell him I'm sending you with an urgent message?
Probably. But why don't you go? Or send one of your own crew?
He knows you. He knows of me, but he knows you.
Captain? Captain Ransom wants to speak to you. Shall I patch you through?
Go ahead.
Kai tilted the vid screen so Pitt could see it.
Ransom's someone we met on Adelaide. I'm using him and his ships as scouts.
Captain Varda, guess what? We found the Observer.
Where?
At,
Ransom turned and someone handed him a note.
24-893-2217. Fully stealth, as you suggested, and transmitting on its own answer.
His eyes widened as he seemed to notice Pitt for the first time.
Thingy. Anyway, we recorded it, and we stripped the beacon, and I just thought, you know, we could blow it away if you'd like. It's quite close, well within our range.
Pitt was staring at the screen with an expression of horrified fascination.
What? Just a minute. Captain Ransom, do I understand you to say that you have stripped that ship's beacon?
Oh, yes. Neat as an Ulan sucking a pinkfish off the hook.
You are aware that they will know their beacon's been stripped?
I don't think so. We were very careful. You said you didn't want it.
Losing her temper would accomplish nothing at this point. Kai fought it down. She hadn't told them to go looking for the Observer, but she hadn't told them not to. She'd told them to go about their business. And for Teddy Ransom, that meant sneaking up behind stealthed enemy ships for the fun of it.
Do you think you could ease away without being detected?
I could. But where's the fun in that? Why can't I just blow it away? I'm in the perfect position.
He was in the perfect position to be blown up himself if he didn't get out of there. If Kai didn't blow him up herself.
We may have need of it. We're not getting any other prizes out of this, you know.
Oh.
His face sobered briefly, then returned to that expression of glee.
So, if I offered to buy you another ship the same size, then could I blow this one away?
Kai just managed not to let her jaw drop. She glanced at Pitt, whose face had gone unreadable again, though she had a very intentional glint in her eye.
I suppose so. Go ahead, then, Captain Ransom.
Kai closed the connection and put her head on her desk for a moment, then looked up at Pitt.
And I thought you were a potential loose cannon. Who is that decorative character, and why are you having anything to do with him?
His name's Theodore Albert Driscoll Ransom. He and his friends, who all have long names and about as much sense as wild rabbits, got together in their personal ships to hunt pirates in their home system.
He is good-looking, if you like that kind.
What matters to me is that he has three ships with superior speed and maneuverability, he's richer than stink, and he's willing to use his ships and his money to help us. I don't care about his looks.
Pitt gave Kai a long look, then nodded.
The Major thought you were too susceptible, but I can tell you're not. Not now, anyway. Is he trustworthy?
Kai shrugged, still a little annoyed that Pitt might think she'd been affected by Teddy Ransom's looks.
He went where I told him to go and did what I asked him to do during the fight. I haven't known him long enough to assess his long-range reliability. I suspect, though, that he'll stick it out as long as it's exciting and suits his sense of adventure and then go do something else.
I've seen that kind before. They can be useful cannon fodder as long as they do what you tell them.
She looked around again as if assessing the decor.
So, you want me to convince my commander that this marvelous technology exists and what?
See if he wants it. Oh, by the way, Teddy's 47.3 light hours away. Did you notice any lag?
He was what? That's a long way.
Yes. And you know this system's Ansible isn't working.
Can you confirm the distance?
Your own scan could do that. I agree, the timing of his call was convenient, but he's out there.
Can you just call our ship on that thing?
No. Each node has to have a unit, and ships are movable nodes. That's how it was explained to me.
Can it interface with system Ansibles?
Not at present. Our units can't. But I don't expect that to last, frankly. And if the pirates get that technology before the rest of us...
We're all in serious trouble. All right. I'll need to call and get permission to return.
I'll take you up to the bridge. Tell him I'd like to talk to him about this and other things, but when we're in a secure location.
I'm sure he'll be interested. Though you still haven't answered his question about who's footing the bill for this Space Defense Force we never heard of before. Surely not the gallant Captain Ransom.
That, too, is something I'll want to talk to him about.
With all due respect, ma'am, you are getting entirely too canny for one of your tender years.
Captain Valta!
That was Ransom again, this time with his mop of blonde hair and an untidy muddle.
I am delighted to report that the Observer ship has been immobilized without injury to Glorious or her crew.
Immobilized?
Well, in a way. I know you would like another ship, and so we, fired our EMP mines at her. The whole salvo! She fired back, but our anti-missile missiles intercepted most of theirs, and our shields held against the rest. And now she's dark, not transmitting at all, not moving.
Well, that may not last. Some ships have self-repairing AI systems.
I know. I was going to ask your permission to board and secure her.
Board? How big is she?
Larger than Courageous, but not as large as Vanguard. My crew have done hostile boardings. We took back ships from those criminals in our system.
From his expression, he might start saying please, please, please any moment. I can't stop you, but I don't want to lose you or your crew, and I can't spare one of the larger ships. We're all involved in recovering Mackensie casualties. Do you think you should have Furious or Courageous over there?
Ooh, if you could release Courageous, that would be perfect, just in case.
Well, go ahead then, but keep your scans on. Just because you found one...
doesn't mean there aren't others. I understand, Captain Valta.
Kai called Mater on tight beam and spoke to Colonel Kalin. In about 48 hours, you'll pick up warhead detonations here. She recited the coordinates. One of our people out there found a stealthed observation ship and immobilized it. They're trying to board. I'll keep you informed.
Master Sergeant Pitt told me about your, We do need to talk, Captain Bada. Assuming Master Sergeant Pitt's report is accurate, there are, both tactical and strategic implications.
Indeed there are. But since this is not a secure location, I think that talk should be deferred to a better place and time where we can demonstrate the object.
You would not consider coming aboard Mater?
Would you consider coming here? I am not comfortable leaving my ship while the situation is so uncertain.
Point taken. No, I can't come. Our regulations forbid me leaving my command.
We both know Master Sergeant Pitt. I would like to use her as a courier, if that's acceptable. I realize she has duties to personnel, but...
it's acceptable.
Good. I'll be sending along some tactical analysis you may not have yet, and some suggestions based on that for your consideration. Kai looked at the system plot as she waited for Pitt's return. If a large pirate force moved in, they were clumped too close. She called Pettigrew.
Move Bassoon out. If trouble jumps in, we want to be set up to defend Mater as well as ourselves. I need to stay physically close for a while because I'm using a courier to share sensitive data.
Right. We'll keep an eye out. What's Ransom up to?
Let me get Argelos on, too.
Kai waited until Argelos came into the contact.
Ransom's found and immobilized a stealthed observer ship. It was transmitting on the pirate channels. He stopped that. Now his crew and the Glorious crew are trying to board and capture it.
He's an idiot. A ship full of pirates? It'll be a disaster.
Well, he's done all right so far. It seemed worth a try to me. If he gets the ship relatively undamaged, we'll have a chance to learn more about the tech the pirates had.
More than Osman left you?
I don't know how close Osman was to the power structure of the current bunch. It said thieves fall out with thieves, and certainly there wasn't stealth tech aboard Vanguard. We need to beware any others. They might have had more than one.
Right. I'll keep a careful watch.
Kalin expects a relief group of Mackensie ships to show up in, what is it now, 10 days? Anyway, I'll find out if we need to do something about those mines at the jump point. I know we mapped a safe route through, but if they come in fast...
what about trying to fix the system Ansible? It's only a relay. Maybe its inbox is just stuffed.
We don't have Rafe.
No, but I've got Dozy Latin. She thinks it's possible she might be able to unstick it if it's something simple like that.
You can try, but the watch is more critical right now.
Understood. We'll just ease up to it and see what she thinks.
Pitt arrived back within the hour,
on a shuttle with more wounded, and a senior sergeant to take over as NCOIC of the contingent billeted on Vanguard. She handed over a hard copy packet.
The colonel thinks you're part brilliant, part crazy, and part scary as hell. That's a direct quote, ma'am, and he told me to say that.
What I am now is hungry. How about you?
No, thank you, ma'am. I ate when I came aboard, you'll recall. But I don't mind waiting while you...
Good. Hugh, have them send something light to my office, please. And patch my office comm unit through to the ship's Ansible again. I need to check on Ransom.
By the time she and Pitt got to her office, a tray with soup and a pile of sandwiches was on her desk, along with a carafe of water and another of coffee. Kai flipped open the packet Pitt had handed her and sipped from the mug of soup. Colonel Kalin had given her his main concerns. Time in system until the other Mackenzie ships arrived, the mines at the jump point entry, the possibility that more pirates would arrive before the relief ships did.
How likely do you think another incursion is?
Less likely now than before. Their observer will have reported that their forces were wiped. If they'd won, they might have brought in more to attack your other ships when they came. Of course, they may see this as a chance to attack us. Mater suffered some damage, expended a lot of ammunition. And no, I'm not asking how much is left. It's not my business. But I'm guessing that, full as she is of wounded and overcrowded with the rest of the other crew, she won't fight at her best.
That's true, unfortunately. So that leaves your three larger ships and the little ones. What's happened to Ransom's boarding attempt, by the way?
I don't know. He hasn't reported in. I'll check now.
Kai turned to the Ansible, entered Courageous's code, and the screen lit with the face of a crewman.
Captain Vorta, Captain Ransom's not here.
His gaze slewed sideways, clearly to another screen on the bridge.
He left the ship?
Yes, ma'am. He led the boarding party, like he always does.
Kai managed not to say what she was thinking. Pitt's expression said it for her.
I see. Do you have any word on the progress of the boarding?
There's resistance. Oh, but they just got through an airlock.
You will keep me informed.
Oh, yes, ma'am. As soon as they take the ship, I'll let you know.
Or as soon as they didn't and were dead. Kai closed the connection.
That idiot.
Cannon fodder. Brave, though. I hate hostile boardings myself.
Kai finished reading the material Kalin had sent.
I've put together a packet for you to take back. And it does not escape my irony detector that we are sending messages by hand in an era when instantaneous universal communication is, was, common.
Well, it's secure if no one takes it out of my hand, which no one is going to do.
Pitt took the packet Kai handed over, slid it into a pocket on her suit.
If I could just make the suggestion, ma'am. I know some very reliable people in my unit, and we could spread this duty around.
Kai had, in the course of reading Kalin's report, finished the soup and eaten half a sandwich. Her mind felt as if she had just walked through a veil into clear air.
I know. I was just a bit fuzzy. Tell me who you'd like to have on the job. I'll accept your assessment.
It'll keep my people busy if we rotate it. When you call for a courier, someone will be there.
Captain Vorta, Captain Ransom wants you to know that they're in the ship, but resistance continues.
Thank you.
He'll let you know when he's completed the capture.
Tell him to watch out for people dropping out of the overheads and coming up through the decks.
How did you... He said something about that.
It's what I did the last time we were boarded.
Oh, I'll tell him.
The last time you were boarded? When was that?
Gretna Station, before we went to Adelaide. They've got a nasty little scam going. First, they charge the Earth for dock privileges, local identification, and air, and then, just as you leave, they attack. Their idea, as near as I can tell, is to get back everything they sold you to resell to the next unfortunate, hand your ship over to the pirates, and take your crew as indentured workers on trumped-up charges. And in the meantime, your credits are in their account.
Slavers.
Good as. My medical team came from there. Medical personnel on their way to some kind of meeting. Sold as general labor.
You bought them?
It was the only way to get them out. I freed them as soon as they were aboard, of course. Some elected to stay in Adelaide, but the ones I have now stayed because they wanted to. Anyway, they attacked all three of our ships. They weren't amateurs, either. They knew how to go about it. Attacked while we were too close to the station to use the beam weapons, and their shuttles were inside the fusing limits of our missiles. Luckily, this ship's full of useful passages, and though it got messy, we evicted them handily. They expected to be in control before we got far enough away to use our forward beam. But they weren't.
You blew the station?
No. Not everyone there was part of the scam, I'm sure. The other indentured workers, for one thing. But I scorched them and destroyed their communications masts so they couldn't tell their remote platforms to burn us on the way out.
I know I told you back then that you were cut out for the military, but now I think I underestimated you. Must have been that head injury. You're implant-linked now, aren't you?
Yes. That was another interesting moment. But a story for another day. You'll want to see your people and set up a rotation, I'm sure.
That I will. Thank you, Captain. I can find my own way.
When Pitt had left, Kai stared at her desk for a long moment. The clarity Emil had given her had worn off. She started to call up to the bridge just as Hugh put his head in.
Captain, you're still up?
Of course I'm up. Why?
Because you've been up more than a day. May I suggest a few hours' sleep?
I haven't had my final report from Ransom. And we know the enemy might be jumping in.
And you'll cope better if you're even more exhausted?
You're right.
Kai pushed back from the desk. She felt as if the artificial gravity had been notched up. A lot.
I was off for 4 hours.
Kai barely heard him as she headed for her cabin. When Kai woke, she realized she'd fallen asleep in her clothes and had a kink in her neck. Muttering, she went into the shower, emerging in a few minutes, awake and eager to find out what had happened to Teddy Ransom. Her implant reported all ship functions normal. She dumped the clothes she'd had on in the fresher, dressed, and headed for the bridge.
Captain Ransom reports he has the enemy ship under control. He was a little disappointed not to speak to you personally from its bridge once he figured out how to reset their Ansible for our channels. But I explained that you had important other duties and would get back to him.
Sleep is a duty?
For combat commanders, yes. Whenever they can get it without imperiling the mission.
I think it's a duty for executive officers, too, Hugh. I know you're made of tougher material than the rest of us, but it's your turn.
And I'm going. Shall I send up something to eat?
An excellent idea.
Oh, and no other stealth ships have been located.
Hugh left the bridge. Kai contacted Colonel Kalin on Tightbeam. He looked as much more rested as she herself felt.
If you left now, could you intercept your people before they jumped in here?
Not likely. They were going... well, I can't say where. But coming here, they'd be doing serial jumps through several points.
Well, it was a thought. Do you want me to blow those mines at the jump point?
No. It's our habit to come in carefully. You aren't leaving, are you?
Not while I have your personnel aboard several of our ships.
I still need to talk to you about your base of support.
And I still prefer to wait until we're in a secure location.
Your people didn't find another stealth observer.
Colonel, I am perhaps too suspicious, but I do not think that not finding something means it's not there.
Wow. They did it.
Who did what?
Bassoon. They got the system Ansible on. Look at the icon.
The Ansible came on. Was that your people?
I think... just a minute, I'm getting a report.
Kai clicked off on that circuit and switched on the shipboard Ansible.
Captain Pettigrew?
Sorry it took so long, Captain Vada, but my tech said it was a bit more than a stuffed mailbox. She had to go EVA and get physical with it. I wouldn't let her go until she had some sleep.
That's fine. I'm impressed. Tell her so for me. Have you tried making an actual call?
I don't know who. I guess we can call up the index. There. We can talk to Adelaide, from there to any place they're connected.
Colonel Kalin, the Ansible is indeed up. Captain Pettigrew's best technician fixed it. You can try contacting your people.
And we can expect ISC to come down on us like a storm. We had a huge assessment over that Sabine mess, even though it was only held in escrow. This time...
You didn't do anything. My people did.
Yes, well, I don't suppose you'll get off lightly either. And they may assume we're part of that.
I doubt it. We've been involved with Ansible repairs before, with an ISC agent who was traveling with us until he went back to Nexus to report. As near as we could tell, ISC didn't even notice that their Ansibles were repaired, though I'm sure they will eventually. He thought they were probably overwhelmed by the amount of sabotage.
He probably had an authorization code. Did he give it to you?
No, he never said anything about a code.
I wouldn't expect him to. Our people asked when the Ansibles were down about using our techs to help with repair. The local ISC office told us that we couldn't, that we must not, in fact, because we didn't have the correct authorization codes and they weren't about to give them to us.
Well, they can come after me, and I'll tell them about Rafe. Besides, they're going to have more to worry about than someone being overhelpful.
So I gather from that material you sent. Is this something we can talk about since we're on tight beam?
I would think so. As close as we are, LaserCom should be secure enough, even if there is another observer in the system. I would prefer we not name the articles, even though they know I have them.
Good. I have a few questions. Did the articles originate with the same firm?
According to my informant, yes. But the articles, as they now exist, were modified by an unknown source and distributed to the persons you'd least like to see have them.
Did the ships that attacked us have them?
Almost certainly. The stealth one did. The ones that attacked us before, long story, details to follow, did. I found a supply of them on this ship, sufficient to suggest that a regular trade in them was ongoing.
Oh, my. What will be the original firm's official reaction to their use, do you think?
My contact was horrified, but recognized the reality that the tech was already out in the universe in use. I expect they'll adjust somehow. They always have.
I still worry about ISC's reaction to anyone's messing with system Ansibles, even to repair them. We've assumed the outages weren't their fault. But if they had some reason for it...
I know that one of my surviving relatives on Slaughter Key got the Slaughter Key system Ansible repaired. If they go after Aunt Grace, they'll put their hand in a buzzsaw.
Kalen raised his brows, then shrugged.
I hope you're right. We don't need any more trouble. Still, I've had my communications tech send messages to the intermediate jump points. We might catch our people that way. Let them know what happened, though it's uncertain. There do seem to be more system Ansibles up and working than when we left.
If enough systems get impatient and fix them, ISC won't have the resources to punish them all.
We can hope. Meanwhile, I'm not sure I've thanked you properly for your help. You saved our skins, that's for sure.
Well, we were lucky this time.
I don't know about that. You made all the right moves. Economical and tidy as battles go. That's unusual with an inexperienced officer commanding. Now, Pitt says we tried to recruit you back at Sabine.
Yes, but I had a contract to fulfill.
Kai tried to imagine what it would have been like to be in Mackensee when her family was killed, and shook that thought away quickly.
Yes, Pitt said your refusal was for honorable reasons. And now you're in another military organization. I rather wish we'd caught you in the interim.
Then I wouldn't have been here. But thanks for the sentiment.
Point taken. All right, back to the articles. Pitt said you wanted to know if we were interested. Of course we are. But are you interested in sharing? And what did your command think about that?
Considering that the pirates already have it, and our side needs it, we're more than just interested in sharing. There are a couple of possibilities, direct purchase or license to produce.
You hold the patents? I thought you said the, original firm...
I can put you in touch with the office working on that issue.
Stella wouldn't be overjoyed about that unless she'd gotten the answers she wanted, but she might be able to satisfy him that they had some legitimacy.
You might be able to relay through to them from here.
I'll have to talk to my commanders first. We have procedures, and I'm sure the old man wouldn't want us using illegal technology.
Not even if it gave your enemies such an advantage? After all, you were attacked by these pirates.
I know. But you have to understand, surely you have rules in your organization as well. Discipline is the core of military success. We can't just do whatever we want.
Unlike Slaughter Key's Space Force, Pettigrew's tech didn't know that system ansibles had an auto-response when restored to service, with or without the proper authorization code. As the ansibles' onboard AI regained control of its functions, its first message went out to all functioning ansibles with relay to headquarters headers. Setting up the linkage from there to Adelaide to Nexus 2 took only seconds. The message itself took immeasurably less time. At ISC headquarters, in the status room, the watch staff noted that Relay Ansible Boxtop Zip Figaro 112 was back online, restored to service by an unauthorized intruder. They already knew about the Slaughter Key Ansible repair. Pettigrew received the return message from Nexus 2 requesting identification within minutes. His comtech reported that Captain Vada was in conference with the Mackenzie commander. He decided to answer the query himself.
Tell him it's Space Defense Force, 3rd Fleet, Light Cruiser Bassoon. They won't have a clue who that is.
You are in violation of the Uniform Commercial Code, which prohibits any tampering with ISC installations, including attempts to repair faulty ansibles. This message is your legal notice of violation and will be forwarded to the appropriate jurisdiction for adjudication. Note, ISC has no reference documentation for the Space Defense Force. As of this date, it will be listed as an outlaw organization. To change this listing, supply documentation proving legitimacy under a recognized system and a legal business address.
Pettigrew and his bridge crew looked at one another.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid we kicked an anthill. Captain Vada isn't going to be happy about this.
Well, we sort of knew ISC didn't like people meddling with their stuff.
They should fix it faster, then. Let's see if I can shake some sense into them. This is an emergency situation. Pirates attacked helpless ships in this system. Many casualties. We attempted emergency repair of Ansible to call for help.
There is no legal justification for tampering with ISC equipment under any circumstances. As we have no record of any Space Defense Force, we have no reason to believe that this so-called report is anything more than a fabrication, an attempt to evade the legal consequences of illegal actions.
Something just stripped our beacon. I think it was the Ansible.
Your beacon data have been appended to the charges we are filing. You'll be apprehended in any system and held for adjudication. Further attempts to contact this facility will result in additional evidence being stored against you. That is all.
Do you think they'll turn the Ansible off?
No. Well, they might, but if it's working, it's a source of income for them when anyone else uses it. I think I'd better contact Captain Vada right away, even if she is busy.
Captain, Bassoon wants you.
Kai, switch to that channel. Vada here.
Captain Vada, I've just had a disturbing message via Ansible from ISC. Apparently, my repair tripped some kind of automatic signal, and they've threatened to have Bassoon arrested anywhere we go for violation of the commercial code.
Did they get your ship ID?
Yes, they stripped our beacon. I'd explained it was an emergency situation with ships attacked and casualties. They said it was no excuse. I shouldn't have, but I did say I was part of the Space Defense Force.
Well, no reason you shouldn't. What happened?
They said they had no record of any such organization. Of course they don't, but then they said it must be an illegal organization and they'd report that too.
Oh, that's not good. Oh, not that I'm blaming you, Dan. It's my fault, if it's anyone's but theirs. If they'd repaired their ansibles in a timely manner, none of this would have happened. I wish I knew if Rafe, the ISC person we had aboard for a while, was at ISC headquarters by now or not. He might be able to straighten this out, but trying to contact him could be tricky.
They said any attempts to contact them would result in gathering more evidence against us.
Well, I may have a roundabout way of doing it, so they don't know it's us. It'll take a while to work out, though. Meanwhile, we should get in a better defensive position in case something unfriendly comes through the jump point.
Do you expect anyone?
Not really, but we don't want to be unpleasantly surprised, either by pirates or by an irate ISC ship. We can protect Mater best if we're not sitting on top of either the Ansible position or Mater itself.
You know we expended a lot of our missiles.
I know. We don't want to fight a serious battle, but we could manage a fighting retreat. Mater's worse off than we are, and they're still picking up their dead.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk out there. It'll take them days to find all the remains, if they can.
Kalen's hoping one of his messages got to the relief convoy, so they can call in a hazmat ship. But he's not prepared to abandon the search just yet. Kai had already added minesweepers and post-battle hazmat teams to her wish list, with the wry thought that Space Force Academy hadn't really prepared her to organize a fleet. You'll need to reposition, and I'll contact Argelos. We'll have a brief all-ships conference in 2 hours. Meanwhile, I'll also tell Colonel Kalen what we're up to.
All ships, including Ransom's Rangers?
I suppose. For the part of it they won't think too boring. They served us well, whatever we think of them.
True. Well, then, I'll be on my way.
2 hours later, Kai convened the conference.
This will be short, since we know that hostiles were undoubtedly made aware of the defeat of their people and may decide to attempt retaliation. We can't leave because Mater is still retrieving casualties, and several of us have Mackenzie personnel, including wounded, aboard. I've discussed Mater's situation with the Mackenzie officer in command. He's expecting a group of Mackenzie ships in 10 to 12 days. But those ships think they're bringing troops to change out for training exercises. He is unwilling to leave until they arrive. They will be armed, of course, and our first concern is that they not attack us, thinking we're the enemy. We know these ships are coming, and approximately when. We don't know about the others, the pirates and, unfortunately, ISC. Pirates are likely to attack in force if they come. They will know we expended ammunition, and there's no place here to resupply. They will know that a Mackenzie ship was seriously damaged and that Mackenzie had many casualties. They may realize that we're still here and more vulnerable than before. But since we don't know if they're coming or when they might get here or with how many ships if they do come, our ability to plan for them is limited.
Kai put up a diagram.
Our discussions earlier, you recall, led to some excellent suggestions for situations like this. So this is what we're going to do.
Rafe looked out the window at the swirls of snow and wished he were out there somewhere, anonymous, going about his business, whatever that might have been, able to stop into any shop, ride on any carrier, without arousing attention. He had come to work in the private car, as usual, with his own private bodyguards. It was now the only way he could go anywhere. He had dealt with the first of the morning's work, and now he could not put off any longer the problem his father insisted was urgent. Here and there in the vast territory where ISC had once held an unbreakable monopoly on long-distance communication, Ansibles out of service were coming back online, but not because ISC repair crews had fixed them. Economically, in the short term at least, this was a good thing. The more Ansibles, the more traffic. And the more traffic, the more profit. He had made this argument with his father. If they didn't have to send a repair team, it saved costs. If the calls went through, they were paid. But his father insisted that it was a dangerous precedent, that letting systems fix their own Ansibles was tantamount to giving them part ownership in them. It violated the old licensing agreements. It ran counter to those sections in the Universal Commercial Code that ISC had insisted on putting in. And what exercised his father most was the Slaughter Key repair, which had been done, no secret about it, at the behest of Grace Lane Vata, now Sub-Rector of Defense. In his father's mind, the line of guilt from Lou Parmina ran straight to anyone he'd befriended. And he had befriended the Vata family. Vatas were at least suspect, his father insisted. He had been appalled to learn that Rafe had spent time, a lot of time, with two surviving members of that family, that Rafe expressed anything other than suspicion of their motives. And now, ISC's legal staff were scrambling to deal with requests from an intellectual property lawyer on Cascadia who wanted to know where patents relevant to mobile Ansibles might be filed. Rafe knew exactly where that request came from. Kai had said flat out she intended not only to use the shipboard Ansibles installed on Osman's ship, but also to share the others with allies. Stella had seen the economic side. Clearly, she was preparing to manufacture and sell them. And Toby, whether the rest of the family knew it or not, Toby was one of those rare tech geniuses, and Rafe had recognized it. If Toby had been tinkering with the design, there was no saying what might come out of it. Rafe hadn't yet told his father about this, but he would have to soon. Though his father was progressing slowly in rehab, the brain damage had been more severe than they first hoped, and neural regeneration proceeded at its own measured rate. He insisted on being kept up to date on the main issues at ISC. If Rafe didn't tell him, one of his old friends might, even though they had been told by the doctors not to talk business with him. He could imagine the response. His father had seemed, when Rafe was a boy, so calm and reasonable. But now, in the wake of Lou Parmina's betrayal and his own injuries, he had formed this one unshakable, irrational conclusion. Lou had counted the Vada family as friends. Therefore, the Vada family was, most likely, an enemy. The whole shipboard Ansible mess was their fault. Hadn't such Ansibles been found on a Vada ship? And wasn't it another Vada who insisted on using them? And now Stella Vada was trying to find out about the relevant patents. Emil Borcaster, borrowed from the family's own legal firm as his personal assistant, tapped on the doorframe. Emil had checked out clean, according to Gary's people, unlike some of the other candidates for the job.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, come in.
There's a new report on the Ansible repair situation. A relay Ansible's been brought online by something calling itself the Space Defense Force, Third Fleet. We don't have them in our records. They don't have an account with us or anything, but I did a little digging. Our people on Adelaide report that a group of three ships showed up there, calling themselves the Space Defense Force, and made an Ansible connection to the offices of Vada Transport on Cascadia.
Rafe swallowed the urge to scream and slam his head on the desk.
Surely you jest.
It had to be Kai. What she was doing in Adelaide when she'd started off in the opposite direction, he didn't know. But clearly, she'd created that multi-system force she'd been talking about. The Third Fleet part sounded overdone, though. He was willing to bet it was a ruse, and all she had was what came with her.
No, sir, it's not a joke. And the commanding officer of that group of ships was a Kailara Vata, with an account at Adelaide Central Bank. The records on the financial Ansible at Adelaide show a funds transfer to Vata Transport on Cascadia.
And I thought the day couldn't get worse.
Sir? But this makes it clearer, doesn't it? The Vada family is working against ISC.
Where did you hear that?
Well, down in enforcement, they're saying that's three. Grace Vada pushing to get Slaughter Keys Space Force to meddle with their Ansible, Stella Vada trying to infringe our patents on Ansible technology, and now Kailara Vada and this illegally constituted organization calling itself Space Defense Force, tampering with another Ansible. Four if you count the shipboard Ansibles on Osman Vada's ship. I know you don't, but some do.
There's something you don't know, Emil. As my assistant, you have to be in on this, but you must keep it quiet. Besides us, only legal knows, and they aren't talking.
What's that, sir?
We have no patents on the shipboard Ansibles.
What? Of course we do! ISC patent attorneys are famous for patenting everything and anything.
Yes, and the decision was made years back to use that reputation, not actual recorded patents, to protect the mobile Ansible technology.
But that was stupid! Why?
The danger of letting it be known what was possible, even if it was protected under law. We'd have had to file the plans, including the details of how the design was kept from interfacing with system Ansibles. At that point, someone somewhere could have accessed them, taken them to some system that wasn't entirely within the law, and started manufacture.
Did your father make that decision?
No, but he concurred. What we have now is an attempt to stonewall while we see if there's any way at all we can claim rights in the technology, or if someone else, the pirates who are using it, for instance, managed to file patents on it in some out-of-the-way mudball where our staff doesn't usually troll for inventions, because there aren't any.
Then Vada Transport isn't trying to infringe?
No. They're trying not to infringe. They actually inquired. and if they went on and manufactured onboard Ansibles by the shipload, we'd have no legal complaint. Not at the moment, anyway.
But if they're just small, lightweight versions of system Ansibles, I know ISC holds the patents on that.
They're not. I've examined them, and I already knew pretty much how they differed. It's a mess, is what it is, and we're not doing ourselves much good by stonewalling. I'm going to try to convince the board of that.
They won't like it.
I don't like it. But with so many systems angry that we haven't restored their communications and our income stream still dropping, I don't see that we're going to get much satisfaction in the courts if we try to fight it. Legitimate members of the Vada family, and no, I don't count Osman, found and used the shipboard technology that originated in our research labs. But they didn't steal it from us. It had already been stolen because we didn't protect it, either physically or legally. None of those units had been manufactured here. It's one of the things I checked. Moreover, we didn't take out the necessary patents, so, legally, there's nothing underhanded at all in what Stella and Kai Vada did about those.
But the other...
Vadas aren't the only ones to do unauthorized Ansible repair. We have a dozen, don't we, on the list?
14, as of today, sir.
Right. And only two of them remotely associated with Vadas.
That we know of.
That we know of. Fine. But still, if Lou Parmina hadn't made such a point of being friendly with them, would anyone seriously suspect them?
No. I suppose not. But he did, and you said we still haven't found all his people in the organization.
Vadas aren't his people. Just an ordinary, well, ordinary for Rich, family he chose to be friends with. For all we know, as cover.
Though, now that he came to think of it, Rafe wondered why Lou Parmina had chosen to get close to the Vada family, and just how close he had gotten. Unfortunately, he couldn't call Stella and ask her. That would raise an even bigger stink.
So, did enforcement send a message on this latest repair thing?
Of course. They stripped the beacon off the ship involved, Bassoon, with Bissonnette Registry. In fact, it's listed as part of the Bissonnette Free Militia, which is, or was, until the recent unfortunate events, what Bissonnette called their privateers.
And the captain is Kailara Vada?
No. Bassoon's captain is Daniel Pettigrew. Vada's ship is the Vanguard, Moscow Confederation Registry. Anyway, enforcement told Pettigrew that they didn't recognize the organization as a legal entity, and that they'd stripped his beacon and filed a complaint against him in every available jurisdiction.
Who's in charge down there this shift? Oh, right, Jesse Squires. Get her for me, will you?
You're not going to rescind it, are you?
Not personally, no. The more I can do through established channels, the better. I will convince Jesse it's in our best interest to rescind it. Bissonnette's fallen to the pirates and their allies. Pettigrew's a refugee. Yes, he probably knows our rules, but he's actually done us a service. And if Pettigrew is with Kai Vada, they're hunting pirates, which is exactly what someone needs to do before they're walking into this office and blowing our heads off.
You don't really think that could happen, do you, sir? We have our own space forces.
Emil, you've never been in real danger in your life, have you? Ever been on a space station when someone blew a ship or a hole in the station? Ever been in a ship someone else was trying to blow? Ever had even one weapon fired at you in your whole life?
No, sir.
I have. More times than I care to remember. Someone has tried to kill me personally, or me along with a lot of other people they didn't care about. I know we have, on the books, more armed spacecraft than anyone else we know about, and we have a lot of people assigned to Enforcement Division. And I know exactly what the reality is. This planet is as vulnerable as any other. This office is as vulnerable as any other, and you are as vulnerable as any other.
And you, sir?
Rafe had two of his weapons out before Emil finished speaking.
I, Emil, am 1 degree less vulnerable, because I believe I can be killed.
Emil, he was glad to see, had turned an unpleasantly pale shade of his normal coloring.
Don't panic, boy. I'm not going to kill you. But anything as big, as rich, as powerful, and as centralized as ISC has Target written on it in large glowing letters.
Rafe slid the needler back into its holster and the blade back up his sleeve.
But we've never been attacked.
Emil saw Rafe's expression.
Have we?
Rafe reached for one of the folders on his desk.
The short answer is yes, but not for a long time. Aside from things like abduction, like my father, and attempts at assassination. Let me read you something. Remember I asked for an update on enforcement's resources?
Yes.
ISC maintains an armed fleet. Everyone knows that. The thing about armed fleets is that they cost a lot. Then you have to crew them. Ships without crews don't do you any good, and that costs a lot. Then you have to train the crews and keep them in practice. Crews that never go on maneuvers are easy meat for those that do, and that costs a lot. Not only for the munitions and fuel and other supplies to go on maneuvers, but also refitting and repair. Because anything you use deteriorates and rough use wears it out faster. Are you following this?
Yes.
So, average age of ISC armed vessels, 68 years. Average age of ISC group commanders, 64 years. Average time from last weapons upgrade, 37 years. Average interval since last maneuvers with live fire, 6 years. Percent of armed vessels deemed battle ready, are you ready for this? 11.
Amos stared back at him, a mix of confusion and fright on his face.
That's not good, is it?
That's pathetic. We might be able to scare a backward colony planet into thinking we're all powerful, but any competent military force that knew what I now know wouldn't hesitate to take us on. What's protecting us right now is our reputation. Enforcement doesn't understand that. They haven't actually done much in a long time, so they think having thousands of ships on the books is the same as having thousands of ships that can actually fight. The back of this report is one long, self-serving explanation of why the damning figures up front, that I insisted on seeing, don't matter. But they do matter.
Your father
apparently accepted enforcement's view of our military might.
Were you, in another military while you were, gone? Is that how you know so much?
No, I'm not soldier material. But despite folk mythology that you have to do it to understand it, even the sterile can understand how babies get made, and even a pacifist can understand supply, tactics, and the chain of command.
Amel looked shocked at this.
I had a friend who was a soldier. I learned a lot by listening.
Oh, all right. But if ISC is so vulnerable, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not sure. It will probably involve, like most things military, a lot of misdirection and the expenditure of enough money to make accounting blench. Hopefully, no one will find out how feeble our resources are until we've had time to strengthen them. But we can't count on that. Parmina may have taken the reports at face value, like my father. Or he may have known how weak we are. And if he knew, he might have told his pirate allies. Or he might have kept it to himself, something he could use later on. We have to assume, worst case, that the pirates do know. At the moment, I'm sending you down to enforcement to hand carry a note to Squires that she's to come up here. You will not, repeat after me, not tell her what I've been telling you.
Amel nodded and left. Rafe felt like sneaking out and disappearing into the snow, which had now thickened to blizzard proportions. The task was too big, the difficulties too many and too complex. He was fit for the little jobs, not this one. But here he was, mired in an expensive suit in a vast office where most people seemed to think the purpose of their job was to feed him comfortable lies. He looked at the notes Amel had put on his schedule. Meetings with a cabinet official at 1100, with another government department head at 1300, with the senior representative of Crown and Spears at 1500. They all wanted to meet him, get to know him, tell him how much they respected his father and how sorry they were, and if they had only known. Or so yesterday's meetings had gone. And all because of ISC's reputation as a powerful, necessary monopoly, which was now, though they didn't know it yet, shattered and gone. That incredible wealth, that reputation for toughness and strength. When they found out how hollow the gold statue really was, he knew who would get the blame. The old man's son, the bad boy who wasn't, after all, up to the job. He knew what to do, unpopular as it would be with the board, the bankers, the government. If he called Stella himself, he could probably get her to deal with him, maybe even put out the shipboard Ansibles under ISC's label, which would give them an immediate market advantage. But he wasn't sure he could do it. Wasn't sure the board would back him. Wasn't sure his father would back him.